Please take a moment to make sure that you are sitting in the most comfortable posture. Perhaps many of you already know how to meditate.
Because quite literally, everything, anything you can experience, anything you can ever see, is incredible.
Have your back straight.
That is what is so, so remarkable about it. That is what is so hard to understand, that everything is incredible. And the other thing is that the depth of the soul.
Relax your shoulders. Now you can bring your attention to the breath. In the beginning, you might like to focus on the breath in your nostril. Just notice that you are breathing in and breathing out. Keep narrowing your attention on the movement of your breath in that area. Now you can expand your attention. Notice that you're breathing in. Feel the sensations of inhalation in your nostrils, in your chest, and in your belly. In the same way, feel all the physical sensations when you exhale.
Of course, that has enormous consequences for us. Because a lot of our attachments, a lot of things that we hold on to in the world are precisely in that material world. That's why we find so much of our delight. We delight in these things in this world, our belongings, our house, our car maybe, our friends, certainly our family, maybe where we have some of the strongest attachments. So just a little bit of reflection on the impermanence there tells you, wait, maybe I should be careful with this attachment. Maybe I should be a little bit more cool in my relationship with the world, so as not to induce so much suffering in myself in the future. I will talk a bit more about this later on. So why is it that the suffering comes from impermanence? How is it that whatever is impermanent induces suffering in human beings? Not only human beings, animals.
Allow yourself to enjoy feeling the breath and also the physical sensations.
The Buddha said himself, I teach his teaching to beings that feel and experience feelings. In other words, it is a specially taught doctrine which has to do with this experience of feeling. Now, once there is feeling, it means that we have two types of feeling. We have pleasant feeling and we have unpleasant feeling. By feeling, I'm not talking about emotions, I'm not talking about a very broad thing, I'm talking about the very most basic sense that we have feelings. There is pleasant feeling and there is unpleasant feeling. All of our experience can be divided and categorized into pleasant or unpleasant feeling. Whatever it is that we see, whatever it is that we hear, we taste, we smell, we touch, or think, all of these things, our entire experience can be categorized in this way. So, this is the essence of being a being, if you like, is that we feel. This is the foundation of why we suffer. Because we feel, because we have these two types of experience, pleasant and unpleasant, we are drawn, of course, to the present experiences, and we are, in a sense, we tend to try to avoid the unpleasant feelings. This is called desire, this is craving. Because we have feelings, craving comes as a natural consequence of having feelings. So being humans means that we have to crave. There's not much choice, at least until we become fully enlightened. And because we have this craving for pleasure and we have this repulsion from pain, it means that we tend to try to search out ways, strategies. We tend to grasp onto things, involve ourselves with things, cling onto things that produce pleasure in our lives. And these strategies that we try to find are things like having a family, having close friends, building a nice house for ourselves.
And now you can just relax in this natural stillness.
All of these things that we hold on to in the world, that we grasp onto, the strategies that we have,
you don't have to pay attention to any particular object. Just relax in each and every moment.
This holding on to things, strategies, attachments, delighting in the world.
You can close your eyes or leave them open, or you can go back and forth between closing or opening your eyes.
Before you can think twice, this thing has changed. It's become something else.
And then when you totally relax and let go of all your mental effort, then there is this natural awareness. You can hear the sound. You can feel the sensations in your body. You can be aware of all the space in front of you, the colors, the textures.
Suffer, and this is only one way, there's many more ways that we have to suffer, but there's one consequence, the consequence of impermanence. Always there's going to be suffering when we delight, when we attach to things in the world. And of course, it's very sometimes.
Such awareness,
because we have
is very simple and it's always at your disposal. This awareness is not in effect of any cause.
But of course, we had a bad relationship in the first place, so there's no doubt about happiness there. But the sad thing is that we have a good relationship, really beautiful, wonderful relationship.
And this awareness has no preferences, no choice. It doesn't hold on to anything. It does not reject anything.
This is a kind of suffering that we have to...
We often say, this awareness is like the sky. Sky does not reject anything. Does not hold on to anything. Clouds can arise, and sky never says, "I like this cloud. I don't like this cloud." Once Rahula asked Buddha, what is the way to the Nibbana or Nirvana, which means the true freedom? They said, you must develop sky like mind.
Philosophies we have about how to govern, how to do things. All of these things change gradually until eventually they cease completely. Now, what does that mean in practice? And this has some very powerful consequences in the way they might be.
Let's say everything arise. Thoughts, feelings.
That arose in the world in the 19th or 20th century, particularly things like communism. Now, communism is a kind of
all you need is to rest in this awareness, and then everything else follows. You don't have to worry what is going to arrive next second. It can be pleasant thought, or it can be unpleasant thought, or it can be beautiful sensation, or it can be painful sensation. Let the both, outer world and the inner world, unfold on their own.
And it shows the delusion that is involved in these kind of political utopian systems. Because there cannot be a utopia. It's impossible because of the law of impermanence. Things are always going to change. The system itself is going to be undermined from within, from without, because of human desires and greed and anger and competition and all other kind of forces, any kind of political system is going to be undermined. So this idea of having a utopian system, whether it's communism, socialism, or even capitalism, anything is never going to be a utopia. It's never going to be something that can last forever after that. This human search for a kind of final solution to things is impossible. There is no final solution. There is no way of establishing a system that is always going to work. And this is also very interesting when you read in the newspapers, you read it sometimes about, I sometimes read newspapers myself, but when you read, for example, about the health system in WA, people are complaining, it doesn't work properly, people have to queue up, there's not enough room in the intensive care units, and people have to wait for hours for treatment that they need straight away. And you read about all these problems, and people want to blame something, they say, it's the government's fault, or the doctor's fault, or whoever's fault. From a Buddhist point of view, that is a wrong way of looking at it. These things are impermanent by their very nature. The health system can never be completely satisfactory. And as soon as you have a system which works well, as soon as you have that, it starts to deteriorate. It goes down because the law of impermanence comes in and starts pulling it apart, pulling it down, wrecking the beautiful thing that we have built up. This is not about blaming anybody. There's no point in saying this person is at fault, that person is at fault. Maybe there are people who are at fault.
Sometimes Buddha said, all our suffering comes from Kleshas means mental affliction. One of the most powerful mental affliction is the in Tibetan, tulpa means delusion. Delusion is state of our mind where we have no more awareness, no more insight, and we are totally lost in our thoughts and emotions.
Correcting the world, correcting society, correcting the health system, the educational system, the government.
Here is one of those few places where we can sit still, enjoy the silence, the serenity, not to be lost in our thoughts and emotions.
After a while we think, maybe we should be doing something else with our lives. Maybe we can help on the side to keep the system working, because obviously it's good karma to help out to make things work well. But because there is no final solution to samsara, to our society, to make it work correctly, because there is no final solution, if we want to find a final solution, we have to look for it somewhere
else. Let everything arise, remember thoughts, feelings. Remember not to follow and not to reject them.